Today's Shir Mustaf to get in Daf Mem Ches. We will begin in Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, the bottom line, Vazel Tamayu. At the end of our previous Shir, we had learned about the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish of Kinyan HaPeiros, if one only has ownership on the property for the produce, is that considered as he has ownership in that property? Reish Lakish held Kinyan HaPeiros is Lavka Kinyan Aguf, and Rabbi Yochanan holds Kinyan Peiros Kinyan Aguf. Says the one of Azbul Tamayu, they're following their opinions that we learned in another Machloikus. Ditmer, Hamoichas Adayu Bezman She Yoivel Noig. Somebody sells his field in the time when Yoivel is in place. And just to remember, in the time of Yoivel, whenever you buy a property, you don't really have full ownership of the property, because you can't have ownership of the property for more than 49 years. When Yoivel comes, you're going to have to give back the property. So essentially, every property that was sold at the time when Yoivel was in practice was a Kinyan Peiros. Rabbi Yochanan says he still brought Bikurim and said the parashas Bikurim, because even though you only have a Kinyan of Peiros, that's still considered full-fledged ownership. Because you only have Kinyan Peiros, it's not a full-fledged ownership. Rav Yochanan, as we just said, Rav Yochanan Mevi Kairi, because he holds Kinyan Peiros, is Kinyan Aguf Dami. Rav Yochanan Mevi Ve'en Kairi, because he holds Kinyan Peiros, Lavka Kinyan Aguf Dami. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. So we have learned identical machloikis between Rav Yochanan and Rav Yochanan twice, once in the previous year and once now. So why do we need to have the machloikis taught us the identical machloikis twice? Answers the Gemara. The Tzricha, we need to mention the same machloikis twice. The Itma Bahi, had I only learned the case that we discussed yesterday, where somebody bought a property and his entire ownership in the property is only a Kinyan Peiros, I would say, Bahi kam Reish Lakish. That's where Reish Lakish says, the ki kanochas adata the peri kanochas. When he took ownership of this property, he only took the ownership to have Peiros. That was the entire transaction. That was the entire ownership. Ava Bahach. But regarding the situation of Yoivel, that data the Gufi Kanachas, yes, as we said earlier, when Yoivel is in practice, when the Yoivel year comes, we will have to return all the property. But when I buy a property, even in the time that Yoivel is in practice, I buy the entire property. So I would say that even Reish Lakish would agree that it's considered full-fledged ownership, and I should be able to say Parshas Bikurim. And the Tzais has a very nice way of explaining the Gemara. He says there's a fundamental difference when I buy a property with a Kinyan Peiros versus when I buy a property in Yoivel. When I buy a property with a Kinyan Peiros, I can't make any physical changes to the property. I can't dig holes in the property. I don't have that kind of ownership on the property. But if I buy a property in the Yoivel time, yes, I'm going to have to return that property when Yoivel comes. But I could make physical changes in the property. Shouldn't that be, asked the Gemara, an indication that I have true ownership of this property and therefore it should be considered Kinyan Aguf? That's why Reish Lakish had to tell us that's not considered you have full ownership. Avahach, that data the Gufi Kanachas, that the person has full ownership. Amen Maida Le Rabbi Yochanan. He agrees to Rabbi Yochanan that it's considered full-fledged ownership. On the other hand, if we only had the machloikas in this case, the Gemara says, perhaps one would be able to argue, but how come Rabbi Yochanan? Only in this case does Rabbi Yochanan hold that it's considered full-fledged ownership. In the case that where a person only bought a property for Kinyan HaPeiros, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan will agree to Reish Lakish that it's not considered like a Kinyan Aguf, that's why we had to have then quote the machloikas, the identical machloikas twice. Toshma. So Gemara brings a raya from a Mishnah in Masechta Bikurim. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Akoine Ilan Vakaka, if somebody buys a property, he buys a tree with a kark around it, maybe Vakari. So we see that all you have is just the Ilan, just the fruit, and still you say Parshas Bikurim. So isn't that a proof that Kinyan Peiros is Kinyan Aguf? Answers the Gemara, Hachemai Skinon, Bezman Chena Yovel Noig. This Gemara is referring to a time when Yovel wasn't in practice. There, everybody agrees. Like nowadays, if we sell a property that Ein Yovel Noig, that it's considered a full-fledged Kinyan Aguf. When were the times that Yovel was not in practice? So the Rishonim give two possible times in our history. One was during the time of the Bayis Rishon, where there was a period that Sancheriv took the Aseres HaShvatim to Golis, took the Aseres HaShvatim to Golis. And we know that the halach is, we discussed this the other day, that when all of Klai Yisrael is not in Eretz Yisrael, Yovel isn't in practice, but Bikurim was. So there's a time where you can have Bikurim and not Yovel. That's one time. Another time was, according to Rashi at least, the entire period of the Bayis Sheni. Since not all of Klai Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael by the Bayis Sheni, Bikurim were in practice, but not Yovel. The Mefarshim ask, why, the Rishonim asked this question already, why could the Gemara not have given a different answer? That the Gemara could have given an answer, perhaps, that when I sold you the property, even it's in a time when Yovel is in place, if I made a stipulation, we made a stipulation when I sold you the property, that this property will not be subject to Yovel laws. And therefore, it's completely yours. So Mefarshim explained, many Rishonim say this, that stipulation is an invalid stipulation. Why is it an invalid stipulation? Because they say, one pshat that they say is, the Gemara says in Masechta Tmura, Kol milsad amar rachmana lo savid, he ovid lo mahani. If the Torah tells us we're not allowed to do it, even if we do it, it's meaningless. The Torah says you can't sell your property permanently, so therefore even if you try, it's meaningless. Another pshat that I saw, the Ramban says this pshat. The Torah, when it speaks about Yovel, uses the words keli kol aretz. The land doesn't belong to us, it belongs to Hashem. We only have certain limited ownership. So I can't sell to you something that I don't own myself. So how could I sell property permanently when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says your ownership is only up to the point that it's going to go back by Yovel? But then I saw a phenomenal Chazon Ish. He asked the following question. He says, we, as Maminim, B'nai Maminim, believe Mashiach is coming every minute. So every time I sell a property, hopefully Mashiach is going to be here any minute, and Yovel will be in place, so it should always be a Kinyan Paris. Because if Yovel, Mashiach's here next hour, when Mashiach comes, Yovel will come back into practice. So how can we ever have a Kinyan Aguf on property in Eretz Yisrael? Says the Chazon Ish. He says, of course we have to believe Mashiach is coming every moment, and halavai Yishtaka come imminently. But, says the Chazon Ish, if I sold a property to you now, when unfortunately Yovel is not in practice, and then in an hour from now Mashiach is here, since when I sold the property to you, it was at a time when Yovel wasn't in practice, that transaction will not be subject to Hilchus Yovel. Tashma, another Mishnah in Masech Bikurim. The Mishnah says, if I buy two trees in your property, maybe Vedekari. I bring Bikurim, but I don't say the Parshas Bikurim. But if I had bought three, so then I already have more of an ownership, maybe Vekari. Isn't this a question in Rish Lakish? So the Gemara, the same teretz. So the Mefarshim, the Rishonim ask, why is this only a question on Rish Lakish? It should also be a question on Rabbi Yochanan. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, Kinyan Peiris is Kinyan Aguf. So as soon as I have a Kinyan Peiris, even if I have only two trees, I should be Mechuyiv to bring Bikurim and say Parashat Bikurim. Why does it say only three trees, not two trees? So Mefarshim say a beautiful explanation in Rabbi Yochanan. Yes, Rabbi Yochanan holds that Kinyan Peiris is Kinyan Aguf. But what does Rabbi Yochanan mean with that? It has to be a full-fledged Kinyan. So even though practically it's somewhat limited, the halacha looks at it as a full-fledged Kinyan. But Rabbi Yochanan will agree that if from the beginning when I bought a property, I bought it on a more limited basis, there the halacha will be that Kinyan, that it's a Kinyan Peiris, that even he will agree you don't say the Parshas Bikurim. Says the Gemara, The Hashtag Amar of Chizda. Now that Rav Chizda has established, so now the Gemara says a different teretz. And there are two approaches how to understand this teretz. There's Rashi's approach and then the Miri and the Rambam. First I'll explain the Gemara with Rashi and then I'll say the Miri and the Rambam. Machloikas b'yovel sheni. Abo yovel rishon, the v'hakol, maybe the kari. So Rashi explains the Gemara the following way. Klal Yisrael is entering Eretz Yisrael. Yes, they had learned in yeshiva all about yovel. They never practiced yovel. They never saw it in action. So in their mind, they never assumed that I buy a property, I sell a property, in 50 years the deal is over. Maximum 50 years, it could even be less. So since they never practiced yovel, says the Gemara, Akati, they didn't think that the property is ever going to go back. So therefore, they really assumed that it was a full-fledged sale. Only after they had experienced Yovel once, and they saw that this is real, it's not just a concept that we learn in Yeshiva, did they realize that it's only Kinyan Peiros. So now we have a way of answering all the questions. The Brises that say, or the Mishnais that say that we read, is before the first Yovel, before they actually ever experienced the Yovel. So there, it's a real Kinyan Aguf. Once they experience Yovel, it's a different situation. Lo kasha. Ha ba Yovel Rishon, ha ba Yovel Sheni. That's how Rashi explains. The Miri, the Rambam, are not satisfied with Rashi's Pshat, because they have a very fundamental question. They say, according to this explanation, all of the cases are only regarding the first Yovel that Klal Yisrael ever experienced. Afterwards, everybody agrees. So the Mishnayos were written after the first Yovel was experienced. So why are we speaking about all these halachas after they're not relevant anymore? So therefore they explain the Gemara the following way. They say like this. I sell a property. Not as my yovel, but hundreds of years after Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. I never sold a property and experienced yovel personally. So I don't appreciate that yovel is going to happen. Only after I personally experience the yovel and recognize that yovel is real doesn't make a difference. That's what he says. Look, Asha, hobby yovel rishon. If I never experienced the yovel, I personally, so then when I sell it, even if it's only kinyan peiros, in my mind it's a kinyan aguf. But yovel sheni, after I had already experienced the yovel and I saw that it's real and I see that when yovel comes, it reverts back to me, then do I have an appreciation? Says the Gemara, lema katanoi. So the Gemara wants to suggest that this machlaikis, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, if kinyan peiros ke kinyan aguf or not, is actually the subject of a machlaikis tanoim. But before we begin learning this machlaikis tanoim, we need to say a word of introduction. The Torah speaks about two types of field, astei achuza and astei mikna. Astei achuza is a field that one inherited from his father. Ancestral field. The halacha of astei achuza is that if someone is magdish astei achuza, there's a specific formula, a specific amount that has to be used in order to redeem it. Kikar upunyan, a kikar and upunyan for every year from when it was sold to Yovel. If the owner himself is the one that's redeeming it, he has to add a chaymish. So now the halacha is as follows. If the person who owns the stei achuza himself was magdish it and he redeemed it, fine. But if he never redeemed it and yovel comes and it's not in his hands, the kohanim who are in service divide that stei achuza between themselves. A stei mikna, which means a field that I buy and sell, not a stei achuza. There the halacha is that you redeem it based on its value, and when yovel comes, it goes back to its owner. Says the Gemara, Lamech Tanoi. It says in a Braisa, Menayim Lekech Sodom Me'avir. My father owns a stei achuza, but I bought this stei achuza for my father. So as far as I'm concerned at this point, it's a stei mikna, v'gdisha. And I was magdish that stei, I magdish that field, v'akach me'savav. And then my father passes away. Menayim Shtei Lefonik stei achuza. How do I know it now changes the status to have the rules of stei achuza? Tamalayim, the pasuk says, im estei miknasai, ashloim estei achuzasai. Soda she'en ruili is soda achuza. a field that can't have the status of stay achuza, a field that I just bought, yot suzu shen royali stay achuza de Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon, since this field can theoretically have the status of stay achuza by me, why? Because when my father passes away, it changes from being a stay mikna stay achuza, it has the din of a stay achuza. Rameya disagrees. He says, Minayin lakeh sodomi aviv, I bought the field for my father. Umes aviv, and my father passes away before I was magdishit. Then and only then, minayin shtei lefonif k'stei chuzah, does it have the din of a stei chuzah? Tamaloymer, ima stei miknasa shtei stei chuzasa. Sada shena stei chuzasa, yotzu shi stei chuzah. So now we have a very fundamental machlaikis. That's to understand it. According to a mayor, only if when I was magdish the field, was it after my father passed away, does it have the din of a stay chuzah? But if I was magdish the field when it was by me a stay mikna, according to a mayor, it will always have the din of a stay mikna. According to Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon, even if when I was magdish the field, my ownership in the field was the only a stay mikna ownership, since my father ultimately, unfortunately, passed away, I now have this, it's considered to me a stay achuza. Vila Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon hold, Meis Aviv, Vakach Gdisha, the case the Ramei refers to, that by the time I was Magdashit, it was already to me a stay achuza, because my father had already passed away. For that, like Tzvi Chikra, the Pasuk is telling me a bigger Chiddush, that even if I was Magdashit when I was a stay Mikna, since my father already passed away, it gets the din of a stay chuzah. So suggests the Gemara, what is the machloikis between Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon based on? By law, the Hokamifki. The Ramei says, Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguftami. Ramei says, I started with the field as a stay mikna. And it's the time when Yovel is Noig. So as we said at the beginning of our shir, my ownership in the field is only an ownership of a Kinyan Peres. And Ramei holds, the Kinyan Peres is Kinyan Aguftami. Now if my father passes away after I was magdashit, nothing changed. Only in a case where I was magdashit only after my father passes away, that's what the pasuk teaches us. But if I was magdashit before my father passed away, nothing changes. So Shmuel Rozovsky in the Shiurim asks a question. How could Rameyer suggests that a field I only had ownership of stay mikna, and now my father passes away and becomes my stay achuza. How could the Gemara say that nothing changes? Of course it changed. So he says a very beautiful pshat. He says, since we know to affect ownership, we've spoken about this countless times, you have to make a kinyan. You have to make a kinyan. If I own this field as a stay mikna, and now my father passes away, and now going to revert to be a stei chuzah. Do I have to make a new kinyan? The look is, I don't have to make a new kinyan. Since I don't have to make a new kinyan, it's a proof that my ownership didn't really change. Because if it changes, why don't I have to make a new kinyan? Suggest the Gemara now further. The Yehuda of Shimon Savri, kinyan peris alafki kinyan adaf tami. And therefore, Beha, the Mises of Hashtahu the Yoris. When my father passes away, it does change. It changes from Stay Mikna Stay Chuza, from Kinyan Peres to Kinyan Aguf. Vilkach, Mes Avivach Kachigdisha, Lechrich Kra. Of course, now it's a Stay Chuza. He is Trich Kra, the Pasuk is telling me, Higdisha Vachach Mes Aviv Hu the Itzrich, because it changed from being a Stay Mikna to Stay Chuza. Says the Gemara, no. Amrav Nachma Yitzchak, Loilam Eimelok, I really could suggest the Ba'alma Kasavi, Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon, the Kinyan Peres, the Kinyan Keguftami. Everybody agrees to this. What is the Machloikistan all about? V'hocha, Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon, Kro Ashkech V'darish. The Machloikist is based on understanding Psukim. Because Lichter Rechmona, they're saying the Pasuk should say, Im Estei, the Pasuk is somewhat redundant. Because the Pasuk just saying, Estei Mechuzasoi, Stay miknas ashlei chuzasai is already redundant. If it's a stay mikna, it's obviously not a stay chuza. So that is one redundancy. Why does the Torah also have to say, why does the Torah have to add the word stay chuzasai? to teach us sodish in royally sodei achuza, a fear that I only could be an owner of a stay mikne in it. Yatzuzush royally stay achuza. If I could be an owner, because I bought the field for my father, they're saying that the extra wording of the pasuk teaches us both cases, both the case that I was magdashit before my father passed away, and certainly if I was magdashit after my father passed away, since the pasuk has so many extra words, that's why the din is this way. But it has nothing to do with the din of kinyan peres or kinyan guftami on that. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Yosef, Ilav the Omer Rav Yochanan, if not that Rav Yochanan has been teaching us that kinyan peres is kinyan guftami, lamatz yad of ragel beis medrash, we'd have a very difficult time in the beis medrash. Because we learned on daf chav tes, chav chay, another interesting din. A father dies, Yaakov dies, and he leaves over two sons, Reuven and Shimon. So we discussed, Rabbi Yochanan discussed, how do we look at the division of the estate? Rabbi Yochanan says, the way we look at the division of the estate, the way we look at the division of the estate, is that the estate is like any business transaction. The two brothers divided it, they're like lekuchas, and then when Yovel comes, it reverts back. Now makes the Gemara the punchline. So that means whenever brothers divide fields that they inherited from the father, they have no more than a kinyan peiros. Why do they have no more than a kinyan peiros? Because Yovel, everything is going to revert back. So if we're saying that somebody who only has a kinyan peiros doesn't bring bikurim with the pasha, so then how can anybody bring bikurim? As soon as a field passed on with an inheritance, you can't bring bikurim because we don't own it. We only have kinyan peiros. But mishkachas the ma'isa bikurim, the only individual that could ever bring bikurim is if you had chad b'charad b'yishuv b'nun, when the field was never divided amongst brothers. Because as soon as fields are divided amongst brothers, we have a problem. So how would we ever have bikurim brought? It must be that kinyan peiros is kinyan aguf. So even though brothers who divide a field only have a limited ownership, it's kinyan peiros, because it's going back by yovel, doesn't make a difference. However, Tysus asks a very interesting question. Tysus asks that we, Paskin like Rish Lakish, that kinyan peiros is lavka kinyan aguf, it's the next Gemara we're going to learn, and we also Paskin that achin shecholku lekuchas hein. So how lahaloch lemaisa do we follow the opinion, how lahaloch lemaisa do we bring bikurim? So Tysus says two terutzim. One terutz Tysus says is that we don't agree, even though we hold, like Rish Lakish, as we're going to learn in a moment, that kinyan peiros is lavka kinyan aguf, that's not as far as lekuchas. Not as far as the kurm is concerned. As far as the kurm is concerned, there we don't agree with Rish Lakish, and there we hold kinyan peiros is kinyan aguf. That's one teretz. Another teretz is that even though ha'achin shecholku lekuchas hein, there are different types of business transactions the Rishonim want to suggest. Certainly, if I sell you a property in Eretz Yisrael, Bezman Sheyovel Noig, I don't have full-fledged ownership in the property because Yovel's coming, I'm giving it back. Here, since we're brothers who hopefully get along, so even though we're lekuchas, our right, we give over to each other full-fledged rights in the shear that I get and my brother gets. I give to him full rights and he gives to me full rights. It's not a typical case of kinyan peiros. It's much more, and therefore everybody will agree that here we say kinyan peiros ke kinyan aguf. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Kro umisnaisa misaylei Rish Lakish. We have both a pasuk and a brisa that seem to corroborate Rish Lakish's opinion that kinyan peiros is lavka kinyan aguf. Kro, what is the pasuk? Because the pasuk says b'mispe shnei tvuas yimachalach. The Torah, when it discusses Yovel, says that we look at the amount of years, we look at the peiros, we look at the crops. How many crops will this field produce until Yovel? So we see that's only kinyan peiros. Masnisa, where do we see it from a brisa? Again, a word of introduction. We know that the halacha is that a bechor gets a double portion in his father's estate. But a bechor only gets that double portion. He only gets that double portion in what the father had in possession when he passed away. If there are receivables that the father is supposed to get, that the bechor doesn't get a double portion. The Braisa says, bechor noitel pishnayim, the bechor gets a double portion, besada chazer slava b'yoyim, which means like this. There's a father, Yaakov, sold a field. He sold the field, and he dies. Now, when Yovel comes, I don't know in how many years, whenever Yovel comes, that field will revert back to the father's estate. But if we're saying that the person who bought the field that only has a Kenyan Peres also is considered like he had a Kenyan Aguf, so then that field should not be considered as part of the father's actual assets that he had when he passed away. And the Bechor ought not to get a double portion. Yet the halach is that the Bechor does get a double portion. Why? Because since the buyer only has a Kenyan Peres, that means really the father still owns the field because he's the one that has the Kenyan Aguf. So we see that Kenyan Peres is like a Kenyan Aguf. Says the Gemara, Amar Abhaya, Naktinan, the halacha is, Ba'ba Nichsa Ishtoi, a husband and his wife's assets, Tzor Hashah. That means if my wife owns property, and there's a din Torah regarding those properties, I can't just be the one to represent my wife without her authorization, without her permission, because it's not my field, it's hers. However, says Abaya, V'loyamar Eldon Loi Nachas Aperi. As we've been learning, a husband is entitled to eat the produce and the fruit of his wife's properties. So if the Torah speaks about the Paris, so then it's the Torah that has to do with me, because the Paris belong to me. Says Abaye, once the Torah has something to do about the Paris, to which I am a relevant party, says Abaye, Migad Mishtoi Dina Aperi, since I'm a relevant party and I have every right to be part of the entire regarding the Paris, Mishtoi Dina Gufa could be relevant regarding the property itself too. Harun l'chashaleich, harun l'chashaleich, harun l'chashaleich. Says the Mishnah. Hanizokin shamlam be'ijis. And as the Rishonim explain, we're going to begin learning now sugyas that really have nothing to do with Masechta Gittin. And why are they here? Because as we've been learning a number of Mishnayos and Sugyas that refer to Tikkun Ha'olam, different Gzeiros, Chazal made Mibnei Tikkun Ha'olam, this is another such example where Gzeiros was made Mibnei Tikkun Ha'olam. And the first rule is, HaNizokin, if somebody damages someone else, and as the Rishonim explained, it's all types of damage. If I damaged somebody else, if my property damaged somebody else, if I was damaged, if my property was damaged, and all the situations, the halacha is shamalam be'ijis. I pay, the mazik pays with his best property, ijis. Ijis means the best property. Bal choyv, if I owe someone money, and he comes to collect property, he has the right to collect beinonis, the average property. So the mefarshim make the following statement. Certainly by a bal choyv, if I owe you money, I borrowed money from you, I owe you money, and you come to collect the money that's owed to you, your first claim is on cash that I have. The Mishnah by Bal Choyv is referring to a case where I don't have cash, I only have property. That's for sure. No disagreement. At least I didn't see any disagreement. By Nizokin, there's already a Machloikis. Some Mefarshim suggest that by Nizokin also. When do you have a right, do you take property? If I don't have cash. But if I have cash, that goes first. Others say, no, by Nizokin, cash and property are equal. And I could pay you a property even if I have cash. What about Metaltlin? Are Metaltlin considered like Karka? Are they considered like Kesef? Is also the subject of a Machlaikas. So then I saw a very interesting Machlaikas Rishonim. The Mishnah says, HaNizokin, when I damage you, Shamalam Bidjus, and we'll spend a lot of time analyzing that then. What is ijis? Ijis means the best property. And as the Rishonim Rashi says it, people typically prefer a smaller tract of land, but it should be quality, versus a bigger tract of land, but it's not the same quality. But what would be the halacha, for whatever reason, you, who I damaged, would say, you know what, I prefer beinonis, or maybe even Zaburius, get a bigger piece of land, versus the Idyas. How do we understand the Mishnah? Do we understand the Mishnah that you have only a right to take Idyas? Or, if you prefer Beinonis or Zaburius, Chazal made something in your favor, but if you prefer Beinonis or Zaburius, you have every right to demand that. Ksubas Isha is collected by Zaburius. What does that mean? Most Rishonim explain that our Mishnah is of the opinion that the obligation to pay Ksuba is Midrabonon, and therefore, since it's only a Chiv Drabonon, you could only collect it from Zaburius. There are other Rishonim that disagree, because they say, if our Mishnah is of the opinion that Ksubas Isha is Drabonon, I don't need the Mishnah to teach us that it's Zaburius. Of course, the Mishnah is, even though it's Daraisa, but still, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, Chazal saw fit, according to this Tanakama's opinion, that Ksubas Isha should only be collected from Zaburius. Ramei Omer, Av Ksubas Isha Rebeninus. Continues the Mishnah. Ein Ephraim, Menachos Meshibadim, B'mok Meshiyesh, B'nei Chayrim, Afilahen Zaburius. We know that Halacha is that if I owe you money, and I sell property, and then when you come to me to collect the money I owe you, I have no way of paying you. You could go to the people, you have a mortgage, and the people who I sold the property to, you have a right to collect from them your debt. However, says the Mishnah, let's say I own anything, even if it's very poor quality, which normally you're entitled to better, but I own it. You can't go to my people, to my lakuchas, people who I sold the property to, if I have what you could collect from without going to them. That's what the Mishnah says. Ein from min chos mishvadim. You have no right to go to the lakuchas, but mok mishesh nechos mivicharim. So I saw the Mepharshim ask, why is this different than any, and we're going to speak about these cases of Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara, than any situation of a guarantor. Let's say I guarantee someone's loan. So the halacha we're going to learn is that the malva can't come to meet a guarantor before you go to the loiva. So why is this any different? So Mepharshim suggests it's different when an individual accepts upon himself to be a guarantor than a property. If I mortgage a property, the Mishnah is suggesting, maybe that mortgage supersedes everything. And even though I sold it, that mortgage, you should have a right to take it and not go to B'nai Chayrim. It's not like a personal guarantee. Teaches us the Mishnah, it's the same thing. Next thing, Ein Ephraim and Chasim Yisayim Elman Zaburius. When someone passed away and they're collecting monies owed by the father, they only collect from Zaburius. And as the Mepharshim explained, it doesn't only mean Yisayim. It means even if somebody died and his brothers or his father are his Yarshim, they only collect from Zaburius. Ein Metzin L'Achilas Peres L'Shvach Kakos. Achilas Peres L'Shvach Kakos means as follows. Ruvain stole a property from Shimon. Reuven then goes sells the property to Levi. And now, Shimon discovers that his property is by Levi. He comes and says, this is my property, give it back. So Levi has a number of claims. He has a claim against Shimon, because he improved the property that Shimon has to pay. He has a claim against Reuven. You sold me a property, you had no right to sell me, it wasn't yours. But he has in that claim, there's the claim for the property itself, and there's also a claim for the improvements that he put into the property. The property itself, he has a right to collect from the Chosim Shibadim. The other claims, he cannot get from the Chosim Shibadim. Mazan Isha, we learned in Sachta Ksubis, that an estate has to support the Amona, or Habonais, the state has to support the daughters. They're not supported from the Chosim Shabbadim, from Nei Tikkun Olam. And one final din, Hamaitzi Mitzia Lo Yishavim Nei Tikkun Olam. Very important din. Let's say I find your wallet, and I return it to you. And you open the wallet, and you say, there's something wrong here. I had $200 in the wallet. There's only $100 there now. So you make me swear. You want to make me swear that I didn't pocket that $100. Allah is, I don't have to swear. Even though I may be considered like a moideh b'miksus, I don't have to swear. Why don't I have to swear? Because Chazal assumed that if I went through the bother of returning to your wallet And what's the price I'm going to have to pay for returning your wallet? They're going to have to take a shvur. I'll say, you know what? I'm not returning your wallet. I'll leave it on the floor. So Chazal didn't want. Hashavas Aveda is a mitzvah in the Torah. That's why Chazal said, you can't force me to swear if you think that some of the money in the wallet is missing. So the first thing we learned in the Mishnah was, Hanazak and Shamalam Be'ijis. Mimnei Tikkun Oilam. Ask the Mar Mimnei Tikkun Oilam. Is the reason Mimnei Tikkun Oilam? Daraisahi. It's a chiv, the obligation to pay Ijis is a chiv daraisa. Because the Pasuk says, the ksiv, Meitav Sadeu, or Meitav Karma Yishalim. Says the Gemara, Om Abaya, Letzricha El Rav Yishmol. Our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rav Yishmol. Doma, who Rav Yishmol holds, Midaraisa, but in Nizik Shaminan. Midaraisa, when we evaluate what is considered Ijis, we look at the property of the one that was damaged. And we'll explain this more soon. But what it means essentially is that, let's say, we look at what is considered for the Nizik Ijis, and let's say I have better property than his Ijis. The Nizik's Ijis is the Mazik Zaburius. So Midaraisa, the Mazik would only have to pay from his Zaburius. Kamash Malon, that's what our Mishnah comes to teach us, the Mnei Tikkun Oilam Shemina B'Damazik. Chazal made a rule that even though I shouldn't have to pay, the Mazik shouldn't have to pay from his very best property, he does. Ask the Gemara, my Rabbi Shmuel, what does this mean? The Tanya, as we said, the Pasuk says, Meitav Sadeu or Meitav Karma Yishalme. Meitav Sadeu or Meitav Karma Shanizik. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, like Boa Kosov El Ligbos Lenzokin Min Ijis, the Torah is coming to teach us that Nezokin always collect from Ijis, Kavachoyma Lehegdish. So the Gemara now, as the Rishonim explain, assumes that the Machloikis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel is not specifically how do we evaluate what the Ijis is by the Mazak or the Nizik, but the Gemara has come to teach us that a different din. The din is like this, Rabbi Shmuel, what the Torah is teaching us is that Rabbi Kiva, this is what the Mefarshim explained to Gemara, Rabbi Kiva, by using the wording of Loiboa Kosef El Ligbois Lenezokim and Idyas, is trying to teach us a kula. The Rabbi Shmuel is Machmer, and Rabbi Kiva is Mekel. What's Rabbi Shmuel's Chumra? Rabbi Shmuel's Chumra is Ochel Shmeina, that let's say the axe ate from my best row, Mishalim Shmeina. So we evaluate the damage at the value of my best row of fruit, vegetable. Ochel Kchusha, Mishalim Shmeina. And the Gemara is suggesting that even if he ate from the weakest row, from the poorest row, you still pay for the value of the best row. And Mefarshim are very troubled. What's even the Havamina? That if he ate from the weakest, he should have to pay from the best. Why should he have to pay more that he damaged? Mefarshim say that that's part of what the Gemara is thinking, is part of the Chumra of Hezek. Omer of Idibar Oven, Hachav my skin showing Achla Aruga Ben Arugas. That case, well, if we know for sure that we, what do you call it, if we know for sure which row the axe ate from, and we could assess the value of that row, that's what we'll pay. The Gemara now is suggesting the Machalek between Yeshua Mal and Rekiva is in the following case. There are many rows. Shon Achla Aruga Ben Arugas. V'lo Yadinen. And we never really had the opportunity to know the row that the axe ate from, ikhushe ishmeina. What was the status of that row? Ikhushe achel ishmeina achel. So Gemara says, the Mishalim Emetiv. Rav Shmuel says that we evaluate as if he ate the best row. Omer Rava asks Rava, ili yadinen de khushe achel misham khushe. If we know what he ate, we pay the best. Hash to the loyadinan, because we don't know Mishalim Shmeina, how much Mechavera all of Araya? What's the Mars question? Mars question is as follows. I'm the Mazik. My axe ate up a row of your field. We don't know what the value of that row was. So the Gemara and the Havamin is saying that since we don't know, I would have to pay the value of the best row. So the Gemara, why? You, the Nizik, should have to prove that he ate the best row. And until you could prove that he ate from the best row, you don't have to pay. So the Gemara and the Mefarshim try to understand the Havamina. Why is there a Havamina, the Mefarshim say, that if we don't know, we should have to pay the best? Why? I mean, Hametzach Aveir L'Raya is one of the fundamental halachas of Shas. So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that we're dealing with a field that most of the rows are high quality. So the Nizek says I'm following Rife. And that's why I should be entitled to Meitav. Another pshat is an interesting pshat. Animals aren't stupid. And if an animal sees rows of field, they're going to go to the best row. And that's why the Nizek says, if your animal ate a row, it certainly ate the best row. It's not a stupid animal. Says the Gemara, Ma'is B'chaver, Olav Araya. But now, the Meiri asks a different question. So how do we evaluate? In other words, the axe ate up a row. There's nothing left. We can't evaluate what its value was. So, Hamayitz Mechaveh Olav Araya certainly doesn't make the mazik pay the best value. So how do we evaluate what it was worth? Because, asked the Meiri, it will say that it was equal to the poorest row. Maybe it was even poorer than the poorest row. And I shouldn't even have to pay that value. Says the Meiri, for this everybody agrees that we don't have to, we know there was a hezek here. We know the damage was done here. We don't have to begin to start assuming that the row he ate was so poor that there is no other row in the field that poor, and punk that row that he ate was such a poor row. That nobody would say. El Amar of Achba Yaakov, Hachimai Skinet, what is the case? Kigoyin Shoyse, Idyas the Nizek, we spoke about this earlier, with Nizek's Idyas is equal to the Zaburius of the Mazik. The Mazik has much better fields than the Nizek. Rav Shmuel Sover, but the Nizek Sheminin. With the Raisa, as long as my field that I pay you is equal to the Nizek's Idyas, that's all I have to give you, I the Mazik. Rav Shkiva Sover, but the Mazik Sheminin. That we follow the Mazik, and we look at what his best field is, and that's it. Rav Akiva Eiger and other Mefarshim discuss, Tysus really begins to discuss this, what will happen if I, the Mazik, buy, according to Rabbi Kiva, a field, a better field after the Hezek? So now, let's say that's an Idyas field. Do I have to pay that field? Or since I bought it after the Hezek, we only look at the moment of the Hezek. We don't look at what happened later.